Morning. I want to talk about the glory, the destiny, your destiny in the glory. So it's something that we really need to listen to and understand. God does some great things, and He's done some great things in the past, and this is one of them that is actually manifesting right now around the world. So talking about His glory and His destiny, I want you to find out your place in all of this. Our first step is to seek after and to cry out for God's glory to manifest. Now, I've been sharing that with you all along for several months now, that we need to just cry out to God, show me your glory, show me your glory. Even as a church, we need to cry out, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. And in order to see this manifest, you have to have a strong desire in your heart for God's glory to be manifest. And then you have to be willing to wait until the time it manifests. But while you're waiting, you're still active. You're seeking after the glory. You're finding your place in the glory of God. Now, there are some people, they're always in churches, and I bless them in Jesus' name, but they're just dull in hearing. They can come to church, they can listen, but they don't pick up, you know, what is actually going on. And I just ask you, Lord, just release their ears today. Let their spirit hear and absorb your word today, Lord. Now, the thing about these, you know, when we're this way, is that God can come and manifest his presence right in the middle of us. And yet they can sit there and not sense it. They never feel it. And I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen in this church. And there's an excitement when you truly recognize that God is here. Amen? And His glory, when it manifests, is even going to be a more profound presence than we've ever experienced before. And so we need to pray that all of our hearts are going to be receptive, so that when it happens, that we're all going to get in on it and just be overwhelmed by His presence. Now, there's still others, you know, when they see it, boy, they get excited. Amen? They just can't help themselves. And that's great. I mean, we need to be expressive of our love for God. If you and your mate moved for 10, 15 years and never spoke anything exciting to one another, how dull would that marriage be? So it's the same thing in our relationship with God. We need to get excited about God. We need to get out there and just, you know, just rejoice. And especially as he begins to manifest himself more and more. So I've got one thing that I really want us to get hold of this morning. And I want you to listen to it. To the same extent that you open the door to your heart, will the Lord restore your soul and reveal himself to you, no more, no less. Now let me say that one more time, because this is important. To the same extent that you open the door of your heart, the Lord will restore your soul and reveal himself to you, no more, no less. That means the wider you open your heart, the greater your reception is going to be. Amen? So we need to remember that, especially in the services that we have. And when we're worshiping and praising God, and I mean his presence just gets so great in here. Well, open your heart even wider. Just receive all that he's brought that day. And you're going to find that it's going to be totally life-changing. Amen? Now, choices. You're going to be making choices. We all end up making choices. And the choice that you're going to be making will be the course that you choose to follow. And I mean, that's the life with Jesus. We choose what we decide to follow. And it ought to be 100% involvement, not, you know, short of that, even though many Christians don't ever make a full commitment to following after the Lord. But if you make the wrong choice, you're going to find barrenness and unfruitfulness in your life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that in my life. I want to be alive in Christ. I want to know that He's everything, you know, in my life, and that I'm everything to Him. So it's all in a matter of perception, how we receive the Lord. And if you make the right choices, then like the promises in the Old Testament, He's going to lead you into the land of milk and honey. That sounds good, doesn't it? Milk and honey. Amen. All right. So everything in life is a choice, and what you choose determines the outcome of your life. And so that's kind of where we're at today with this, you know, with God and what He's doing around the world. We need to choose obedience and be led by the Holy Spirit, and refrain or quit being led by your flesh. Again, so many Christians today, they've locked on to the leadership of the flesh, and I don't know if they're afraid or just reluctant to allow the Spirit of God to have that place in their lives. But we must be led by the Spirit of God. We choose the word of the Lord to become real to us and to lead us more than trusting in our own perception and opinions. You know, in the kingdom of God, our opinions are worthless. Do you know that? God doesn't care what we think. What God cares is what He's already said. All right? So don't, you know, that's another indicator in churches that get in trouble. They change the word of God to match their opinions. And that's only going to bring death in the spirit realm. Amen? So let's go ahead and look at some scripture. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now let's just stop there a second. God is revealing and has revealed His glory already in us, okay, in Christ Jesus. We just have to see that, and we need to receive that because it's important. But in verse 7 it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? Well, it could be the life of Jesus, yes. But we also have the glory of God in us. It's a treasure. It's you know, there is no value to Jesus Christ or the glory. You can't put a value on those. It's everything. Everything that God is wrapped up in these. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That's good news if you meditate on it and understand what it's really talking about. You see, it's going to be in our individual lives that we determine what that really means. So you need to spend some time thinking on those things. Now, where is the kingdom of God coming from right now? Well, it's coming from inside of us. If Jesus is here, the kingdom is here. If Jesus is in your life, the kingdom is in your life. As I look at you this morning, I don't just see a group of people sitting in chairs this morning. I see the kingdom of God before me. You are the kingdom of God. And I don't just see a group of people. I see a mighty army of God who are determined. They have potential and they have destiny. As I look, I see mountain movers. Mountain movers. I see prophets sitting out here this morning who will proclaim the word of the Lord to the last generation. Do you understand that there is going to come a last generation? It's going to happen. We don't even allow that to even get into our thinking because we don't really believe it to begin with. But just as surely as there was a first generation, God created that generation, then there's going to be a last generation where God is going to come in the life of His Son once again. And some awesome things are going to happen. But we need to see this thing. I also see a house amongst you this morning. I see a house that is going to have more glory than the former house. We've seen some great things at this church, but let me tell you, we're going to see even greater things. They're coming. And it's coming into the house of God. And I see the ending of your lives is going to be greater than you could have ever believed. And yet you need to see that for yourself. Christians are the kingdom of God. They are the called of the Lord. Scripture says that you are a chosen generation. Think about that. You're a chosen generation. You are the actual holy ones of Israel in Christ. You are the beloved of the Lord. You're accepted in the beloved. And you're the kingdom of priest unto our God. That's who you are. And it's you I see. Does that make you feel good? It kind of excites you on the inside that, hey, I am more than just me. I've got a tremendous destiny in my life that I'm headed for. And you see, your whole city that you live in, this state that we live in, the entire nation and all of the earth could depend upon one little group of Christians who know their destiny, who know who they are. And you see, that goes beyond our thinking because we think in the flesh. But if you think in the realm of the kingdom, then let me tell you, anything's possible. Amen? Wouldn't that be something that this would be the group of people that would change the world? It can happen. And you need to latch on to that destiny because it's yours. I want you to look around the people that are around you. What do you see? I see my wife. No. You see someone that God is molding, preparing, and planning a destiny for the kingdom of God to rule on this earth. You see a bunch of people hiding? I hope not. But so many Christians are hiding from God. They really are. They're afraid if they get too close to God, something's going to happen. They're going to have to do something that they don't want to do. Listen, that's not God if that's your mentality, if that's your opinion. That's not God. God is not going to make you do anything. He's laid it out in His Word, His desire for you. But He's not going to take a whip, crack it over your head, and make you do something. So we need to get beyond that. And you have to see who you really are. You are full of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you are the hope of glory for the whole earth. Not just River of Life Church or Eagle Pass or the state of Texas or the United States. You're the hope of glory for all of the earth in God's perspective. And it should be in your perspective as well. And that means that within us, we have the power to change the world. Jesus had the power in Him to change the world, and He has done that. And if we have that same Jesus living in us, we have that same power living in us. World-changing power. And all we need to do is learn how to use it, how to release it. So what I'm trying to get you to see is don't discount the days of small beginnings. Don't let you being insignificant in your eyes make you feel that that's the way God sees you, because God does not look at you and see you that way. God sees who you really are in His destiny for you. And it's up to us to get busy seeking out that destiny and, be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, that'll never be anything that you could create on your own. Now, we are not insignificant people. The world may look at us that way, but we're not insignificant people who are just here passing the time waiting for either Jesus to return or us dying and getting buried 6 foot under. That's not our destiny. And I hope your destiny is greater than that. If we die on this earth, we have a heaven to go to. We have an awesome life to go to. But we've also got an awesome life here on this earth that God wants to work through us. We are a people that have a destiny. Listen to what God said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "For this one," talking about Jesus, "for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house." Okay? And you have that same glory living in you. You go back and read in Exodus, Moses was constantly telling God, asking God, "Show me your glory." And yet Moses went up on the mountain into God's presence where the glory was and came down with the Shekinah glory shining on his face to such an extent he had to wear a veil over his face. And this is a man who wanted to see God's glory. And the writer of Hebrews is saying we've got an even greater glory than that. That belongs to us. And we need to get busy seeking after it, pursuing that glory just like Moses did. Lord, show me your glory. Now let's look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And when somebody gives you a key, what does that usually mean? It It's either to a lock or a door. And if you open it, there's usually something behind the lock or the door. And that's what Jesus is saying. Whatever's behind the door, the kingdom is yours. It belongs to you. If you know what to do with the kingdom, I mean the keys. And Jesus is saying, I gave it to you. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And now it's time for you to start taking advantage of the keys that I gave you. I'm going to be preaching on the keys to the kingdom in the next few weeks. But in John chapter 17, we see this principle being laid out by Jesus. And it's beautiful because he tells us that the same glory that he has on his life, that we can participate in it. And you know, that's just the way Jesus is. You know, he has no selfish ambition for himself. And neither should we. So let's look at this in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, and he lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, the hour has come. I want you to see this. There was a set time by God himself that this was supposed to happen. And now Jesus is reminding the Father that the hour has come for what? Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Now that is something that God said in time itself that it was going to happen. Just like he sets everything else in time. And when that time comes, it will happen. Nothing's going to stop it. The flow of God's glory is continuous. And like Jesus is doing here, we never actually possess it to keep to ourselves or hide it for ourselves. We are continually to share what we have received, which allows the glory to perpetually circulate. It's an ongoing thing. You can't just put it in a box and keep it. It has to be continually flowing and flowing and flowing. Now, we're going to take a little side trip here right quick. And I'll probably offend the money people, but you got to hear this. Did you know the same concept applies to our money? As Christians, we should not keep our money for ourselves. We need to learn from God's word that we are to keep our money circulating in the kingdom of God. The more you give, the more he returns to you. Is that right? Is that what God's word says? Then why do we hang on to our money so tight? You see, there's enough wealth in this world, that if it was distributed properly, no one should ever have to live in a substandard condition. There's more billionaires in this world right now than ever has been. And that's not even a drop in the bucket, what we're talking about. There's that wealth that's in the world, but what about the kingdom of God? There's so much wealth in God's kingdom that every individual on this earth could live like a king. And yet we're reluctant to unlock that wealth. We're more concerned about what we got and let it not disappear. Even people who live in the greatest riches, they actually live substandard lives compared to his glory. And Jesus tells us that all of the Father's riches are coming to us. Look at John 17, verse 5. Jesus prays to the Father, and he speaks to the disciples. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Think about that. Jesus is wanting what he had before the world was even created. And the Father's fixing to pour it out in him. And then, along with that, Jesus wants to give us that same glory. Look at John 17, verse 22. He said, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them." Who's the them? Us. "That they may be one just as we are one." Nothing selfish about that, is there? He wants us to have everything that he has that the Father has. Amen? And it's there. All we have to do is learn how to receive it. And what Jesus is saying here is, when he says, "I have given," he's saying, "I gave, I am giving, and I will give." It's giving in the past, in the present, and in the future. In other words, Jesus is not going to hold anything back. He's going to give into every generation that will learn it and receive it. And we are a generation that need to receive it right now. Now, the deception is, when it comes into churches, has literally robbed us of this victory that belongs to us. And we've got to realize that it was only the beginning when the Reformation came. You remember the story about Martin Luther, you know, left the Catholic Church and made a statement about faith. You know, "We're justified and shall live by faith." The church accepted that, not the Catholic Church, but the other churches that were long accepted that. And then as time moved along, the Protestant church began to move in it and began to grow in this statement that he made, this revelation that he received. And it's in churches still today. But unfortunately, in the church where, you know, there has become a deception in churches saying, "Okay, we received it, and this is it. God's not going to do anything else." And that's a deception. I challenge you to look in the Word where, and find it where God would say, "Okay, I've come this far, and this is as far as I'm going." It ain't in there, and it won't be in there. Because God is a continuing God. We don't have a clue about what eternity is all about. We are just one small little speck in eternity, and yet we can't even understand that. But there's a whole lot that God is going to do. And as he comes along with it, he begins revealing it, what he's going to do, whether it be through the prophetic, whether it be through the declaring of the word or whatever. He's going to be releasing it, revealing it to every person. Luke 1:33 tells us, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The house of Jacob, we went into that last week. Remember when Jacob had the dream about the angels and the ladder from heaven, the angels going up and down, up and down? He had a revelation of the church. He said, "This is the place where God dwells." And he called it Bethel. And then he talked about the gates, and then we talked about the gates last week. If you want to catch up on that, well, Mike can get you a CD on it, or you can go online and listen to it. But Jesus is saying, you know, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's Jesus. Jesus is going to reign over the church forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The church is not going to one day just come to a screeching halt and everybody disband. It's not going to happen. It's going to go on and on until Jesus comes, and it's still going to go on and on. But this time it'll be in a new place, in a new Jerusalem. Amen? So once again, listen to this. The church has no end. It has no end. It will give way to the glory. And the church is simply a mother who is bringing forth something greater than herself. That's what we're doing. We're birthing something greater than ourselves. And Jesus is the head of all of this. Now, what we're talking about here is there's the old covenant, there's the new covenant, and then there's the coming kingdom. Real simple. And when we begin to walk in the kingdom, we'll look upon the church just as the church today looks upon the old covenant. In fact, we learn from the old covenant. Paul said that it's all the types and shadows and stuff that we learn about who we are in the new covenant. And it's going to be the same thing when we move into the kingdom of the glory of God on this earth. We're going to begin to see things in the New Testament that we've never seen before. And God is in the process of birthing through us something greater than we ourselves, greater than what we are. And when we begin to proclaim the message, it's often rejected because most people's concept of the church is that that's it. Church, you know, there's nothing beyond the church. However, the church is just simply a vessel that God has equipped and empowered to birth his earthly kingdom. And this is all in the spirit realm. This has nothing to do with God coming down here and setting up an earthly kingdom like we know a kingdom here on earth. This is a work of the Spirit moving around this world, talking about his glory going to cover this world like the waters cover the sea. And it's something that's every bit of it's going to be done through the Spirit of God. And so when we walk in kingdom principles, we are released into a greater freedom in Christ. A greater freedom. I don't know about, you know, right now, so many people haven't even reached or attained the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus right now. And so many Christians don't understand that in the Spirit of God, there's freedom. And yet we keep ourselves all bound up, you know, in religion and all this other stuff. We have to break loose from that. God has more for us. God is a God of more. Remember what I said a while ago? He never just gets to a place where he sits down and says, that's it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. So we can have glory upon us now if we're willing to put ourselves in that position and not look back. How many of you received Jesus into your heart and then you look back at the old life and think, you know, I wished I hadn't got Jesus. I mean, I still would like to be who I was. Then you better look real close because I don't think you found Jesus. I really don't. And it's the same thing with the kingdom and the glory. You can get into it, but don't look back. Amen? Only the brave few who dare to live on the edge are are going to be the ones who will have a breakthrough with greater glory. Amen. We've got to be risk takers. And I don't mean doing dangerous things, but I mean getting beyond your worldly view of things. We need to get out there in the Spirit of God and move and have our being in Christ. Amen? Now, Jesus paid a price for all of us. Is that correct? Yes, he did. And Jesus had to do it all by himself. God didn't choose anybody else but Jesus, thank God. And so we're able to see how wonderful Jesus was through the people in his day, yet they did not recognize him. And wouldn't that have been, break your heart? Here you walk with these men all these years and teach them and tell them everything that they need to know, and then when it comes down to the last moment, so many of them turned their back on him. Wouldn't even accept that he was going to rise again. But God wants to take us further if we're willing to pay the price with following him. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, first part of that verse says, just as through one man, talking about Adam, through one man, Adam's sin entered the world. Just through one person. And then the rest of the chapter goes on talking about Jesus. Because Jesus did what he did, he changed things. Amen. Changed it for all of us. And we all of us can get in on what he did. But we have to believe. We have to believe in the righteousness that he brought and walk in that righteousness every day. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he gave the disciples that went with him a glimpse of what was to come. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Second part of the verse says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They hadn't seen it yet until they went up on the mount. And the other disciples didn't get to see it. Not until later. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, while they watched Jesus, remember, this is after Jesus was raised from the dead, had an interaction with all of the disciples. It says, while they watched, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let me tell you, when God talks about clouds, he's talking about the cloud of his glory. It's confirmed over in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. And I believe it was the glory cloud. I mean, what other cloud would come to receive Jesus into heaven for everything that he accomplished here on this earth? And the unction came, the anointing came, Jesus was transfigured, or he was transformed into a transfigured being right before their eyes. And Peter saw the transfigured Christ, and he saw that which was yet to come. Now, when Christ appeared to them after his death, burial, and resurrection, they did not recognize him in the natural. We're talking about the physical here. The state that Christ embodied is what we are approaching. And the church is making a transition out of the natural existence into a spiritual existence. In other words, we're leaving the fleshly things behind like we were supposed to do when we received Jesus. And we're going to begin to move in the power and the knowledge of the Spirit of God. That's basically what it's all about. We're going to become who we're already supposed to be. Become who we should have been doing these things before. Through the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, this transition from the natural to the spiritual is happening. Even right now in different regions of the world. And it's happening for the harvest. We are going to go out in the power of Jesus to evangelize the world. And you have to understand this, you know, it's going to be beyond our fleshly efforts. The flesh is not going to work anymore. It's what's going to happen in the realm of the Spirit that's going to deliver the people of this world into the kingdom of God. And we're the ones that are going to do it. The ones that God put us here for that purpose. So the thing is, are you ready? Lord, show me your glory. Are you ready for the glory to come? Are you ready to be empowered through that glory to touch the lives of people to bring forth change? You see, there has always been, mainly in the realm of evangelists that have stepped into this power of this kingdom. And they, you know, the reason being is because they've given it all over to God. And when they preach to people, they preach under such an anointing and unction that most preachers never get an opportunity to preach under, because they won't seek after the presence and the glory of God. They're not interested in the power of God. They're interested in growing their own visions and their own destinies. But let me tell you, I want what God wants. I don't want to lay my hands on anything that's going to look anything like men or man. I want what God wants. And that's what we should all want, is what he wants. Amen? So, you need to get close, up close to God. Let him begin to teach you his things, his thoughts, about where you are going as a child of God. And then do what he shows you to do. It's really simple. Nothing complicated about it. The only thing that it takes that's hard for people to do, and that is to make a commitment. I believe in you, Lord. And whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I know that you've empowered me by your Spirit. I know that I am going to do greater things than your son did, because he told us that we would. And then the key is to get busy doing it. Amen. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Set the captives free. And declare the gospel of the kingdom. Have you ever read that in the Bible? Declare the gospel of the kingdom. That's what it's all about. And we need to be about doing our Father's business, just like Jesus did. Amen? Let's pray. Father, there's so many things that you're revealing in this day, and And even Scripture talks about there would come a time when a tremendous amount of revelation would begin to come forth to individuals and even churches. And Father, we want to be counted among those people that have a listening ear to hear what you're saying in this hour. Father, we want to be a part of what you're doing. You don't love this world any less than the day when you created this world. You love the people of this world so much that you sent your Son to die for the sins of this world. And Father, your word talks about that love. It's an everlasting love. And Lord, we need to learn how to love with that same love for the lost out here. For the people who have no destiny other than darkness. And so Father, just encourage daily each one of us, Lord, to take the steps needed to walk out what you're doing in this hour. Now, Father, we praise you and we thank you for everything and for the great things that are yet to come into this church. And we give you all of the praise, all of the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.